Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. We'll read verses 6 through 10 together. I'll read this passage responsively. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 10. First Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 10. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. And let's pray. Father, thank you again for bringing us here together in your house. Lord, what a wonderful group of people. Lord, I can't imagine going to a church to where people just didn't want to come. Though we have those that wanted to come today and could not, Lord, thank you that our church just doesn't close. Lord, you're there whether we're here or not. You want to spend time with us whether we want to spend time with you or not. Father, please fill our preacher with your power. Fill us with your power as we listen. Change our hearts and our lives, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
My sermon this evening is going to be very, very practical, very down to earth, a bit like a Bible study, I think. I want to talk to you about the subject of money for a little while. If you have your Bible open there to 1 Timothy chapter 6, I'd like to glance at it again. We read it together a few minutes ago. Let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 6 again, if we could. 1 Timothy chapter 6, we started here with verse number 6, 1 Timothy 6, 6, where it says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Look back at me, if you will. Here, God is telling us that if we live godly and we will choose to be content, that is great gain for us. Somehow we get the idea the only way of great gain is to get a lot of money. That's not what the Bible's saying here. Now let me tell you something. The reason why I preach a sermon like this, you know, this last year, I really think the devil used the tool of fear and just about scared the United States population to death over the economy and really the world. It's had everybody petrified, living in fear, the world's coming to an end. He actually used money to scare you into thinking that Jesus was coming back. Now, he did not come back in 2009. But understand, the thing of money, it's a very powerful tool. Money can be a powerful tool for God, but money can be a powerful tool for Satan as well. Here, as we read in 1 Timothy chapter 6, we see that God is teaching us some things about our money, about our security, about our lives. He says that godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. That's not a profound statement, but it'd be good that we all take a good look at it. It'd be good that we all thought about it. We came into this life with nothing, we'll leave with nothing. The only thing you'll take with you is what you sent ahead to heaven. Every investment that you've made in heaven will be there waiting on you, but anything else, you're leaving it behind. You're leaving it all behind. We go on. It says in verse number 8, and having food and raiment, let us there be with content. God's telling us we've got enough food to stay alive. It's not talking about T-bone steak now. God is saying if you have enough food to keep you alive, enough clothing to keep you from sinning against him and practicing nudity, then he says that we ought to be content. That word content there is made up of two words. It means that you ought to hold it together. Being, Paul said, in whatever state I am therewith to be content, the word contento means being held together. You ought to hold it together emotionally. You ought to hold it together spiritually. You ought to hold it together if you have food and something, some clothes for on your back. Notice it doesn't say anything about $300,000homes, 401k plans, $25,000 vehicles, $1,000suits, and $300 Gucci handbags. It doesn't say anything about that here. Just saying having food and raiment, being therewith, content, holding it together. We go on. He says, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts. God's saying money can cause you to become very foolish. It can cause a lot of lust in your life, which drown men in destruction and perdition. In other words, when we talk about something drowning, it pulls you under. It overwhelms you. It takes you over. And finally, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. If you look back at me here, the Bible tells us to be careful. Money's taught, and the things of money are taught throughout the Bible. I'm going to teach you a little lesson tonight called Satan and Our Money. Satan and our money. Now, don't let Satan take advantage of your finances. And I want to relax you here. I'm not trying to get money out of you tonight. That is not the purpose of this lesson. I'm going to show you something about Satan and money. I think you'll learn from it. But don't let him take advantage of your finances. Don't let him take advantage of you financially. Don't be ignorant of his devices concerning money. Let me read something to you, and I'll read it to you. You don't have to turn to this one because we're going to turn to some other scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 11, it says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. God does not want Satan to take advantage or have an advantage on us, and he doesn't want us to be ignorant of the devices of Satan. Now, let me tell you something. There are a lot of characteristics attributed to Satan, and they're bad, and they're evil, and they're wicked. I want you to know that those characteristics or those behaviors of Satan are the very things that he takes advantage of us in regard to our finances with, and those characteristics are the way that he deceives us in regard to our finances. You look at Satan and you describe him, and then you can, in your description of him, you can figure out what he will do when it comes to your money and what he does regarding this thing of money. Satan uses his evil strengths. Satan uses his evil influence on us regarding our money. For instance, Satan is one, he's a blinder. He blinds people. Satan is a liar. He lies. He lies to people. He is a thief. He steals. He's a tempter, the Bible says. He's a trickster. The Bible says he can transform himself. The Bible says he is a devourer. The Bible says that he does all of those things. He's the disobedient one. Now, when we describe Satan, well, I just described him using about 8 different descriptions. Let me tell you something. If Satan is able to deceive you and I, if Satan is going to take advantage or get an advantage on us or take advantage of us, he's going to use those very characteristics. Now, notice in the Bible it said that the love of money is the root of all evil. I want you to make sure you understand something. It does not say that money is the root of all evil. You could have all the money this world has to offer and not do evil. You can have money and not be evil with it. But it says here, when you love money, the love of money is the root of all evil. Now, I don't like evil. And I happen to know who the evil one is. We talk about Satan being the evil one. Now remember, the love of money is the root of all evil. Now, I know who the evil one is. If I can figure out something about the evil one, maybe I could figure out his devices and what he does to me, to us, in regard to our money. Let's look at how the evil one behaves, and let's see how that affects us financially. For instance, we said earlier in the descriptions that I gave you that Satan is a blinder. He's a blinder. Take your Bible and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 4. I want you to turn very quickly. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 4. He is a blinder. 2 Corinthians 4, 4, it says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Here, look back at me now. Here the Bible says, the God of this world, if you notice there, the word God there is not capitalized. It's a little g. That means it's a false god. It's not Jehovah God. And it says here that this God of the world, which is Satan, it's the devil, it's Lucifer, it's Beelzebub that's being mentioned here. And you say, what is the characteristic that's being attributed to him? He blinds people. All right. Now, we know that the love of money is the root of all evil. We know that Satan is the evil one. And here, he is described as one that blinds the human race. Okay, what does he do then in regard to your money? He blinds you about some things. I promise you. He blinds you to the point of you waste money. He's very good at it. He does it on a daily basis. We work very hard to get our money, and then he comes along and he blinds us about the waste of our money. He blinds us about the outcome of our misuse of our money. He's a blinder. He moves in. He puts blinders on us. He makes it so we're not seeing clearly. He makes it so we're in the dark. He makes it so we're in the dark today about how our misuse of our money is going to affect our tomorrow. He blinds the importance of doing right by God financially. What is he? He's a blinder. Everybody here knows it. Everybody here that's ever had any money knows the devil can come along and he blinds you in regard to your money. There's a moment that you're doing just fine. The next minute you're looking back and say, where did it go? You say, I didn't even see where that went. Right. A characteristic of Satan is he blinds people. And we know that he is the evil one. And the love of money is the root of all evil. So the evil one blinds us about our money. And we could talk about that one point for the next 35 minutes, how he blinds us. But let's look at another characteristic of the evil one so we can see how he then affects us in our finances in regard to it. Number two, he's a liar. He's a liar. Take your Bible and turn to John 8:44. John chapter 8, verse number 44. In John 8:44, we learn that he is a liar. The Bible says, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Okay? Now, what am I saying? I'm saying that the Bible says that the love of money is the root of all evil, and we know who evil originates with. If we can learn about him, we'll figure out some of his devices and what he does to us in regard to our money. Now, we know he's a liar. So what does he do then? He lies to us about the fact that money will make you happy. He lies to us. Listen, money won't make you happy. You can't buy happiness. And some of you are saying, well, I'd like to give it a whirl. But you can't buy happiness. Some of the richest people in the world are the most miserable people in the world. You're going to get joy from Jesus Christ and joy from serving God. But what does the devil do? Well, we know this. He's a blinder. So what's he do? He blinds us about our money. He blinds us about our finances. What about the devil? He's a liar. So what does the devil do? He lies to us about our finances. He lies to us that money will make us happy. He lies to us about how money will produce security. You know something? I know people who have no money who are very strong, secure, and solid people. I know some people have all sorts of money and they're falling apart. They're a nervous wreck. You see, he's a liar. Our strength comes from above, not from the bank. See, he's a liar. That is one of the attributes of Satan. So however he behaves, the evil one is going to affect us with his characteristics or his behaviors, and it's going to affect our money. So he lies about money producing happiness. He lies to us about money and security. He lies about it, money being more important than church, or money being more important than our families. Some people work and work and work and work and work to get money, 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 and they say it's all for my family, and they lose their wife and kids while they're doing it. There's some that they work and work and work, and they just turn their back on God, don't show up for church. All the boss has to do is offer them a bunch of money, and they won't come to church. Now, there's some people that are required to work. I'm not here to beat up on that, not at all. I'm just telling you, the devil's a liar. He's a liar about money. This is the way he behaves. He's a blinder. He blinds us about our money and how we use it and what we do with it. He is a liar. He'll lie to us. Hey, he makes the things that we want in our minds seem like needs. He's a liar. He is a liar. You know it. You don't need me. You don't need me to harp at you about it. You know he blinds us about our money. You know we wake up a day later and say, oh, wow, I've opened my eyes, taken a good look at that. Where am I? And then you know he lies. We walk away after having purchased something that we thought that we just had to have, and we didn't, and he convinced us. He's a liar. He's a liar. Something else. He's a thief. He's a thief. Take your Bible and turn to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, when you arrive there, I want you to find verse number 15. Now we see him stealing. Mark chapter 4, verse number 15, it says, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. Here, the word was sown, and Satan comes along and steals it. He takes what is not his. He's a thief. He's a thief. He tries to take glory from God. He's a thief. The devil's a thief. He steals. So, we know that he's a blinder. What's he do? He blinds us about our money. We know he's a liar. So what's he do? He lies to us about our money. Now we find out he's a thief. So what's he going to do? Well, he is going to, number one, steal our money. He's a thief. He steals. He wants to take our money. You be sure. The devil wants to steal from you. He steals our money from us. He gets us to steal from God. Why? He's a thief.
Right.
He wants us to steal from God. He's delighted when we steal from God. When that which is rightfully God's, you and I take it, we have stolen. The book of Malachi calls it thievery. It says, wherein have we robbed God? In tithes and offerings. Hey, if you steal God's money, the devil says, yeah, great. See, the love of money is the root of all evil. Who is the evil one? It is Satan. And I promise you, he uses money as a tool to get us to behave like him. He blinds us. He lies to us. He steals from us. I think it is Satan. He wants us to steal from God. He steals our common sense. And he replaces it with passion.
Right.
He steals our common sense and he replaces it with passion. If you don't believe me, wait till the spring hits and you see those convertible sports cars out there. See, I've got to have one of those. I've got to have a sports car so my hair can blow in the wind. Kenny Cooper, you don't have any hair. But you know how the devil is. You see it and say, wow. You ladies look at that and they say, this paint job on this washing machine, it's got, you know, it's got fire, flames running down the side of that washing machine. You look at that thing and you say, that is so, hey, they say to you down at Westinghouse or wherever, you buy this washing machine, I mean the paint job's so slick you can eat off the top of it. Now, I have never seen a woman in my life eat off the top of her washing machine. Boy, the devil sells you on things, and he is trying to steal your common sense. Why? He's a thief. Hey, he wants to steal from you the thing called satisfaction. He wants to replace it with covetousness and dissatisfaction. And remember this, folks, you've heard me say it. I hope I drive it into all of our minds. Satisfaction is not found in what you have. Satisfaction is found in what you are. There's somebody that would give anything to have what you have and they'd be satisfied with it. And most people that are hopping around constantly looking for more, the minute they get what they want something else. The dissatisfaction is a poison that is within them. But the devil's a liar. He's a liar. It is the devil that convinces us to steal money. Why? Well, he's a liar, he's a thief, he's a blinder. Let's go on, though. He is also the tempter, the Bible says. Remember, the Bible said there in 1 Timothy chapter 6, the love of money is the root of all evil. Now, who's the evil one? We know that's Satan. God is warning us there in 1 Timothy chapter 6 about how we handle our money. Now, if I can figure out how the evil one behaves, if I can figure out those characteristics that describe him, I'll guarantee you, with money being as great of a tool as it can be, the devil is going to get involved in our money. He's going to blind us. He's going to lie to us. He's going to steal from us and cause us to be like him. Then he's the great tempter. Take your Bible and turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, we're going to find verse number 5. 1 Thessalonians 3, verse number 5. Here the Bible says, "For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you and our labor be in vain." Here we see it. He is a tempter. The devil's a tempter. He tempts us to covet and to spend. He tempts us to forget responsibility. Responsibility with our money. What's that mean? Well, we're supposed to, really what the Bible says, the first fruits, we're to give God what we owe him first. We're to pay our bills. Only do we purchase the luxuries of life when our obligations and our responsibilities are cared for. Only then. Only then. Only then. You say, but if I had to pay my responsibilities first instead of buying me a McDonald's hamburger, it's going to be months before I get a hamburger. Then you go months without getting a McDonald's hamburger. That spiritual common sense is not so common anymore. And the devil comes along and he tempts us. He tempts us not to be responsible. He tempts us to not think spiritually and logically. He is the tempter. Folks, the devil is daily tempting you about your money. I guarantee it. He is daily trying to blind you about your money. He's daily lying to you about your money. He is daily a thief and trying to take your money and trying to get you to take money. He is a tempter.
Right.
This thing of money, I promise you, everybody, virtually everybody in here, probably even the teenagers, maybe not the children, you handle money almost every day of your life. Don't you tell me something that affects us 365 days out of the year. Don't you tell me the devil's not on it.
Right.
He uses that thing as a tool. He wants to get in our life. He wants to dig into our integrity. He wants to mess up our moral thinking. He's a tempter. That's something else about him. Remember, the love of money is the root of all evil. Who's the evil one? The devil. God's telling us something here. If I can figure out about this evil one, if I can figure out what he is, how he thinks, how he behaves, maybe I can help myself financially. Well, he's a blinder, 2 Corinthians 4:4. He's a liar, John 8:44. He's a thief, Mark 4:15. He's a tempter, 1 Thessalonians 3:5. Number next, he's a trickster. He's a trickster. He's sly. He's slick. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11. Take your Bible and turn there, if you will. Ephesians 6:11. We're finding about the evil one. Since the love of money is the root of all evil, I would like to know what's happening. I'd like to know how the devil will deceive me and how he misleads me. Ephesians 6:11, it says, "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." If I could, I would like to say that word wiles there means his tricks, his slyness, his slickness. Hey, he tricks us about the importance of tomorrow. Now, folks, I want to remind y'all, though you may not be able to put large sums of money away for when you get old and for when you retire, I want to recommend that everybody puts a little something away from time to time to get ready for old age. You need to do it. You say, well, Brother Owens, Jesus is coming back this year. I heard it on Fox News, and I just know it's going to happen. He's coming back, so I'm going out. I'm going to live it up and spend all my money. You'd be a fool. It may be 100, 200, 300 years before Jesus comes back. You say, you really believe that? The Apostle Paul thought Jesus was coming back. I don't know when he's coming back, but your pastor's going to have enough sense to say to you, you better prepare for old age. You might make it. I can tell you all sorts of people that preachers around the country back in the 70s were saying, Jesus is coming again. They were borrowing money at outrageous rates, building buildings and saying, we don't have to worry about paying it all back, but Jesus is coming again. And they joked and mocked and laughed and said, we'll even for the liberals to pay off. We're raptured out of this mess. I can also take you to a generation of fundamentalism that ought to be a alive and leading right now, but they're all out of the ministry because they screwed up so bad financially. They closed down their churches, lost their reputation, lost the respect of their people because they handled their money wrongly.
Right.
You want to notice something? How many 60 and 65-year-old well-known fundamental Baptist preachers you know across America today? They're gone. We lost a whole generation. To what? I'm trying to tell you. The prediction that Jesus was coming again, and a bunch of them virtually ran themselves in the ground. Now, I'm for, hey, if Jesus comes again, we're going to get everybody saved that we can, but we'd better use some good financial sense. We're expected to be responsible until he comes again. He's a trickster. He tricks us about tomorrow's importance. He tricks us about, he tricks us about our money and the sins of money and the seriousness of those sins. Let me tell you, folks, I don't say this. I'm not trying to get your money. I'm trying to help you to be happy. But I ought to warn you, you rob God, there's a terrible price to pay. There's a terrible price to pay. Let me tell you something that the devil does. He's a trickster. He's a liar. He'll come along and there'll be people that won't give God what is rightfully God's. They won't tithe. And they think they can just come to the altar and say, God, forgive me for not tithing last week. And he forgives them. It's all gone. No, you're supposed to pay that. I'll tell you how I believe that. I'll tell you why. You know something? If your next door neighbor comes in your house and steals $200 on Monday and then comes over on Tuesday and says, I'm sorry, I stole $200 from your house, you'd say, well, you're forgiven for the stealing. I'll put my $200 back in my hand. That's only right. So it's not a matter of you just go to God and say, God, I didn't tithe for 6 weeks, and I want you to forgive me, and I know you will, and it's gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. If you have any integrity, you'll pay God back. The devil's a trickster. He's a trickster. Hey, he is a transformer. You say, but there's a toy like that. Well, the Bible says the devil's a transformer. Take your Bible and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Hey, we're getting close to being done. Somebody told me the Colts were ahead 10 to nothing. You said, who? Yeah, it might have been Jesus. Might have been the devil. He's a liar. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians 11, 14 is the verse that I want you to look at. 2 Corinthians 11. We're going to look at verse number 14. The Bible says this. Boy, I've got my pages all messed up. 2 Corinthians 11, 14, and the Bible says, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Here it says that Satan is a transformer. You say, what's that mean? Well, here it's talking about Satan being evil can make himself look real good. He talks, and he even talks about there are preachers who are not of God. They're of the devil, but they look like they're of God because they know how to make themselves look like they're of God. Now here it's talking about how the devil, he is a transformer. He can make himself look like an angel of light when we know he's actually the devil of darkness. He's a transformer. Now, wait a minute. We know the devil. We know he is the evil one. We know he's a blinder, so he blinds us about our finances. We know he's a liar, and he lies to us about money. We know he's a thief, and he wants us to steal God's money, steal our money, and help us to steal. We know he's a tempter, and he helps create that temptation that makes us misuse our money. We know he's a trickster, and he twists things about our money. Now we find out that he's a transformer. What's it mean? He can take bad money moves and make them look good to you.
That's right.
He can take something that is wrong, but make it look right to a simple-minded person. You say, well, how am I going to know the difference? Let the Bible tell you the difference. Let the Holy Spirit of God tell you the difference. Go get some spiritual advice from somebody. So he can take bad money moves and make them look good. And he can take good spiritual money moves and make them look bad. I'll never forget when they talked to me about tithing the first time. They said to me, get this, I've never been in church in my life. And somebody said to me, if you'll give 10% of your income to the church, you'll have more money. I said, oh, come on now. I went to the public school, but I'm not that stupid. No way I can give 10% of my money to the church but have more money. That's a failure mathematically. We're not talking mathematically, we're talking spiritually. And you know something? By my giving 10% of my income to the Lord, my money goes further. I do have more.
Right.
I do have more. You say, explain it. I can't. Yeah, how does it work? I don't know. I can't explain your brain, but I know it's there. I'm not sure it's working, but I know it's there. The devil is a transformer. He will take that which is good, and he will turn it into bad. He will take that which is bad and turn it into good with our money. There's something else the devil is. He is a devourer. He's a devourer. Take your Bible and turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, we find out that the devil is a devourer. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 8, it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now here the Bible says that Satan is a devourer. What does it mean? He's a destroyer. I don't have time to take you there, but in Malachi chapter 3, verse number 8, the Bible says this. God said, if you are faithful with your tithe, then God will rebuke the devourer. Who is that? Well, that's Satan. He is the destroyer. So you know, he's the one that destroys our belongings. He wants to destroy our belongings. Can I tell you something that's better than buying the extended warranty? Make sure you tithe. They say, you want the extended warranty on this stereo? Well, if you want to buy the extended warranty, go ahead. But let me tell you something. If you're not tithing, the extended warranty might not do you as much good as what you think. Because God said, when you tithe, I am going to rebuke the devourer, the one that destroys your things. You see, he is a devourer. He's a devourer of your money. He's the one that destroys our belongings and our things, or he gets us to misbehave toward our things and to destroy them, to misuse them. He causes us to destroy them. But remember, Malachi chapter 3 says, God said, I have a way, I have an insurance policy on some of your things. They'll last longer. I don't know how it works. You'd have to be the one to decide. But I've had many people come to me and say to me, you know, preacher, I stopped giving to the Lord like I was supposed to. I had this go wrong and that go wrong and this go wrong and that go wrong. God convicted me. God basically told me, well, you won't give it, I'll take it. Now, and again, I just want you all to know, I'm not trying to get a penny out of you. I'm trying to teach you the devil's behavior, the characteristics, they're there. He uses this on us all the time. Any of you have been in church any length of time at all, you know. He's a transformer. He can take something that looks good and he can turn it into a negative to us. He can take something that's bad and make it look good. He is a devourer. He's a liar. He's a thief. He's a blinder. He's a tempter. Hey, he's a trickster. And he works on us constantly with our money. If somebody doesn't help you push the reset button on your money every once in a while, you just keep making the same old mistakes. But we all know there are times when we just shake ourselves and say, goodness, how much money have I wasted? How much money have I been unwise with in the last 4 or 5 months? I got to get it together. Some people did it in January. They look back over 2009 and said, good night in the morning. What have I been doing to myself? I've not had to struggle as much as what I did. I should have been wiser with my money. And somebody said, now this year, I'm going to get a grip on this thing. Well, you need to. Satan works on us in regard to our money. He constantly does it. He does it to me. He does it to you. Thank God for the reminders that make me be reminded. Hey, money's a tool. It's a tool. It's a tool that can be used by God in a powerful way. Wait a minute. If it's a tool that can be used by God in a powerful way, don't you think Satan's going to try to pick that tool up and use it? Absolutely. Finally, he is a disobedient one, and he causes, and he aids and tempts us in regard to disobedience. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 2. Let's look at it, and we'll be done. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 2. The Bible says this. It says, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, there's Satan, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Disobedience, that's what Satan is. He's disobedient. He wants disobedience. He wants you and I to be disobedient. He is disobedient. He is not right with God. He doesn't want to be right with God. He doesn't want to obey the Bible. The only part of the Bible he obeys is just enough to make himself look good enough to deceive you.
Right.
Now, he is the great disobeyer, which means this. He wants us to disobey with our money. That's what he wants us to do. He convinces us to disobey God about money. He convinces us to disobey our consciences. You know, folks, you all have a conscience. Especially those of you that are saved, you have this Holy Spirit that lives inside you. But if you would just stop long enough to let your conscience remind you, you shouldn't spend that money. You shouldn't buy that. Come on. You know something inside you. When does it tell you? After you bought it? Can I tell you something? Your conscience will affect you before you buy it, if you allow it to.
Right.
All you have to do is slow down long enough and say, Holy Spirit, should I buy this? In many cases, Holy Spirit's going to say, you can't. You have responsibilities. The Holy Spirit has some good, strong spiritual logic available to him. You get the idea that the Holy Spirit just floats around the church to make you feel fluffy and buzzy or something. I got news for you. The Holy Spirit of God is the Holy Spirit of principle. He's the Holy Spirit that agrees with thee line upon line, precept upon precept of the Word of God. He is the Word of God in spirit. I'm telling you, he'll come to you and say, you can't do that. That's not a need, that's a want. You got to take care of your needs and your responsibilities and your obligations first. He'll come to you and say, you didn't even tithe last week. How can you buy that for yourself? It's a luxury. He's good at that. The devil is the devil of disobedience. See, the love of money is the root of all evil. Who's the evil one? Satan is. And I believe that the evil one has some characteristics. And if we can find out what they are, I think we can find out how he's going to influence us with our money. He convinces us to disobey our consciences. He convinces us to disobey the Bible about our money. He convinces us to disobey our common sense. He convinces us to disobey the Holy Spirit when he prompts us. He convinces us to disobey our parents. Some of you young people, your parents are trying to teach you financially. And you're not obeying them, so you're destroying yourself financially. I hate to say it, and I don't mean this unkindly. There are wives in here whose husbands have tried to give them some direction financially, but they won't obey. They're destroying themselves. There are some men that help manage businesses in here, and your boss is trying to help with some finances, but you won't obey. You won't obey. For some of you, you don't obey the balance that is true on your checking account. You don't obey. Satan wants you and wants me to disobey financially. He wants us to disobey. He wants to devour our money. He can transform that which is bad into good. He is a trickster. He is slick. He is sly. He's a tempter. He's a thief. He's a liar. And he's a blinder. And I'll tell you what. If I had people start standing, I could virtually guarantee you in every pew there was stress this week between a husband, a wife, a family with a checkbook over money, over the savings account. I guarantee it. It's just realistic. Satan's no dummy. When I counsel marriages, and I do it often, it is very rare that money is not involved. Almost always. Check all over the news. Check all the newspapers. Money's everywhere. Money, the issues of money. Money, 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 money. Really and honestly, you check the United States government and their relationships with the countries around this world, most wars have something to do with money. 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 So, Satan is pretty slick. He's slick. He knows how money affects us. He uses the tools of his makeup, his character. He uses them on you and I in regard to our money. I call it Satan and our money. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.